Hey guys, John and Rolando here. We wanted to take a moment to talk about a recent passing of Juan Carlos Spike Wu Osorio. He tragically passed away this week. And John, did you want to talk a little bit about him?
Yes, this is for Spike. Earlier this week of the 10th of February, Aotzi lost a good soul. A hard worker and a true punk. Our rigging electrician, Spike, that's the way we know him. In fact, I think a lot of us didn't know his real name because that didn't matter. His real name was Spike. He tragically lost his life. And I just want to say he was our co-worker, our friend, and most importantly, he was our brother. So this is for you, Spike. Rest in power.
Our deepest condolences go out to his family. Please join us just for a moment of silence.
Love will bury you. 6 feet under, bring you back insane and mad. Darling, don't worry. The skeleton bars will hold your coat to the Lando and Johnny forever.
Welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
I was trying to do Mike more off. It didn't come off right.
Try again. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm Johnny.
Right? Because Mexicans sure. are the gangster bad guys.
And welcome to our annual Valentine's Day special. Our theme this year is Doomed Romance. This year, we are reviewing Return of the Living Dead 3. As always, Sean will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts. Then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first,
we're going to turn you on to a TV series. That played way better in my head. As I was saying, I was like, I should give up on this.
But we're live. We're live and unedited.
Yeah. Whoever edits this doesn't edit anything out. So
subscribe to our Patreon if you want edited down content.
Yeah, can't find his scissor button on the Audacity app. Can't find it, won't use it. And no, but we are starting a new TV series, Ju-on Origins. Or the Grudge TV show. The Grudge television show. Yep. Episode 1. So we saw it on Netflix. Apparently it came out like 2020.
Yeah.
Did you hear anything about it?
Nope.
I thought it was new. not new whatsoever.
It's one. I think maybe in passing I heard about it, but it wasn't available. This feels like something Netflix bought.
Yeah.
Because it's a little too high quality. Oh,
pay your people.
That's saying a lot too.
Yeah, and I guess the premise of the show is that the movies exist, but this is the real story, the origin story of what really happened. It's much more fucked up.
Yeah,
is what I'm gathering. It's a 6-part TV series show.
What's fucked up about it is how cinematic they want to make it look, including the transitions into different time periods. So I'm just fucking confused like half the time.
Yeah, what did you, aside from your confusion, what did you think overall?
I don't know. First episode, I think. You know, I don't know. I have a hard time gauging TV shows. You know, once in a while you get a TV show where the first episode's like, damn, I gotta watch more of this. But it is only half an hour long. Or less.
Blood Red.
Yeah. Blood Red. No, Blood Red's
Blood Red. Yeah. I do like the idea of the premise that like this is the true story. That's kind of like their way into telling kind of the same thing, but not really, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff they showed in this, they've kind of done in other parts of the Ju-on series. So it's just, I guess, a more grounded, realistic take. Not quite sure how, like, there's a lot of characters in this.
Yep.
So that was a little concerning.
I don't think it's a lot of, I mean, there are a lot of characters, but a lot of the characters are the same character. We just don't, it's hard to, like, differentiate because of the time periods. Like, it's supposed to be, what I gathered was it was current day at the beginning, and then he's watching a tape of something.
Right.
And then it's at some point it's 1988. I don't know if you caught that. Okay, so it's supposed to be 1988 at some point.
With the little girl that goes to school?
I think her... yeah, I don't know. Because then I'm pretty sure at the end of this episode, there's this one character that told a ghost story. And she said her boyfriend saw something and didn't want to talk about it. And then this boyfriend is getting haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he's the dude with the greaser haircut. And that's my guess. Is
that he's that wasn't the, clear at all.
No, yeah. That's what I mean. Like, there's like the cinematic transition into like
so
the 80s.
It opens with like a psychic researcher, right? Like on a TV program, and then
well, what is it? It opens with like some dude like just kind of pop. Well, fuck, what happens? Because like there's some dude who I think is supposed to be our main investigator. And then right. He pops in a tape to review something that he was on. And then he gets a cassette tape of a recording of something. And then there's another character. And then there's a little girl. Like, I don't know who they are. You know, yeah. I don't know. It was very confusing to me.
Okay. Yeah. And the thing is, I would add to that, my most disappointing thing about, like, I liked it overall. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, it had a lot of mood and tension, and they had right away we get like some sort of like moment scare in the show.
Oh, that's true.
How it's gonna all tie to the house where the whatever the curse happened, the cursed house or whatever. I don't know how they're gonna get there yet. I think they're there now by the end of the episode, but then they immediately cut to black. So this kind of almost feels like a cut-up TV movie. Does that make sense? Like, you know how like they used to do TV movies like Lonesome Dove or damn. Stephen King stuff? Like they yeah. would just be like these 2 days, 3.5 hour movies. So it'd be like 5 hour, 4 hour movie put all together. And this just kind of felt like it was one of those things, but chopped up into like these 30-minute episodes.
Yeah.
So it's like it kind of ends in an awkward place. So
yeah, they're gonna rape some girl. like all these girls something. And one dude are gonna rape some girl, I think is what's happening.
Yeah, something. I don't know what the heck's going on.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then some little girl gets slapped in the face.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that, like, she was kidnapped, I think, or something, or I don't know how any of this is quite lining up yet. So
there's some other girl little, who had to change schools, and her mom, her older sister.
Yeah,
I don't know who that lady is with the crimped hair. So that's where I'm like, okay, this is the 80s.
She is the mom, or but she's accusing her daughter that she slept with her dad.
Yeah,
right.
Seduced her
and
dad.
That they had to move away. And then she actually gets to the house that they talk about in the first, you know, well, all the Grudge movies are about this house that they live in and stuff, so.
Right. Did you actually ever watch the Japanese original, Ju-on?
I want to say I did, but this is probably more than 20 years ago at this point.
So what happens in, because American version, right, who's in that one? Sarah Michelle Gellar, right?
Sarah Michelle Gellar, yeah. I did see that one and the second one.
That's more of like a linear storyline. In the original Juon Japanese films, there is no, like, it starts at that house, but then it's like this curse is kind of like it follows, like it touches people, and then no matter where they go, this curse follows them. So like it, you only are at the house at the very beginning, and then it just keeps going. I think at some point somebody tries to burn down the house, but it doesn't matter, is what they're trying to say. Like, this curse is just like it spreads. Like, in the first movie, just ends with the curse ending with somebody, or not ending, but like killing somebody else. And then the second movie just picks up right there, and it's just a continuous cycle of like people keep getting
marked,
infected, yeah, by this thing.
Yeah.
There's a really creepy scene where the little boy that got drowned, right? Somebody's visiting somebody at like an old folks home or like a some sort of psychiatric ward or something like that. And there's this old lady, like, just like kind of like casually waving and like saying hello, like in a sweet voice with like a smile on her face. And that's when you realize that the curse had already grabbed onto this girl or something, because the kid was like latched onto her back. And this like old senile woman was like saying hi to the little kid. So it's like scarier.
Okay.
This is not like that.
Not yet.
Long-winded story to tell you.
To tell you, I didn't like it. It's not scary. I thought the scene with the younger, well, I guess older, he looked young to me. Younger guy with the girlfriend who,
yeah,
you get spooked.
He's got the cursed
or spooked
Cowboy Bebop spike hair.
Yeah. I thought that whole scene was effective. It was like, oh, okay, cool. I kind of know what we're in for.
That was pretty cool. Good.
Well done. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is so far so good. I think it's worked for me.
Yeah.
Other than I wish it was a little longer.
Wow.
But
that's a new one.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I
just
thought it was pretty good. It's just not, like, I think what they could have done well with is maybe introducing a bunch of characters at the same time, but they're all on board of a bus, but they just kind of appear, right? And the bus driver just kind of casually looks at the rearview mirror and winks, and then we get to see each of their stories of and they called it Get Ju on the Bus, you know?
Get you on the bus. Get you. Yeah. Okay.
I don't have kids. Don't okay. question it, people at home, with all my dad jokes.
That you know of.
I know of and or ignore. I'm just kidding.
Damn, there's a lot of Juon stuff.
Yeah.
There is
very
quite a few.
Which is kind of weird that that's such a, it's had such a culture impact, and that literally came out, what, late 90s maybe? Probably 2000, actually.
The first one came out in 2002.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were still in high school. And it was like something that blew up and is like a very popular cultural phenomenon. I guess Scream also. That's in our lifetime.
Yeah. Also Paranormal Activity. Don't forget about the stuff we reviewed.
Good shit, yeah. Freddy versus Jason. That's in our
Freddy
lifetime.
Freddy versus Jason. Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, this was okay. It was pretty good. Not bad so
not bad.
Far. Not an embarrassment to the series yet. So, it says that Netflix produced it. Netflix original.
Oh, well, I guess I'm wrong. It doesn't feel like it for some reason.
It doesn't feel like it, yeah. Mm. Feels very Japanese.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Are we ready to move?
Is it a step up We're almost ready to move on. Is it a step up from? Okay, we'll talk about it. Is it a step up from?
Don't ask the question. I feel like I know what you're gonna ask, and don't even bother. Don't bother.
Well, I tried to ask it like five times. So compared to Blood Red, where does this scale?
See how long it took you to ask that question that you know is a dumb question? Because nothing will ever hold a candle to Blood Red.
I just gotta hear it. It's like hearing it makes me feel like we made good choices. We picked that show.
We rode the Blood Red, and now, you know, we're just saving up our money for our next trip.
Alrighty. Time to get sexy. It's our Valentine's Day special. Return of the Living Dead 3. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Return of the Living Dead, Part 3, Valentine's Edition. Coming in at number 3. Oh, this one you might not get. Origin story for Hereditary's Payman. It's because she hits a tree. That's all.
I know what you're talking about. But I think I've only seen half that movie.
Let's finish it. I got a couple more that are kind of random, like True Love Like Burning Flames, which is a spoiler for the very end, that very abrupt ending.
Yep.
Coming in at number 2, Longest Cannibal Corpse music video.
That's pretty good.
And coming in at number 1 for Return of the Living Dead, Part 3, Valentine Edition, the Skeleton Johnny's Problematic Sexual Awakening. Now, I also have a couple of notes. I'm like, give us the Riverman movie.
He was a character that popped out of nowhere.
I know. And that guy was acting his goddamn heart out. Basil Williams, I'm like, he has no business being in this movie. He's taking it way more serious than anybody else, and or everybody else is just a bad actor. Like,
I don't know about Mike Moroff. What about Mike Moroff?
Oh, Mike Moroff is great. Cholo. Even though he's got a very problematic line.
Which one?
He walks up to Riverman, Basil Williams, and wakes him up and says, hey, and he says, wake up, Kaka. And it's because he's black. And I'm like, holy shit.
Maybe he just smelled like shit.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think of the series, Return of the Living Dead?
I like it as a whole first. I remember when I was younger, I don't think I truly appreciated it for what it was. Like, I wanted it to be more like Night of the Living Dead and or like the zombie series, or I think when I realized it was very Evil Dead-ish, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. It's just the third one, which we were talking about, and this is saying a lot, is probably the most serious of the trilogy. Oh, no, I think there's more than three of them, but it is.
Yeah, there were a couple more after this one.
But we're going to ignore that, yeah.
Yeah, they're not very good. The quality, let's just say they made two more movies and the quality dipped hard after that. So, yeah. After this movie.
Which, again, is saying a lot. It's very, very, very Brian Yuzna.
Skeleton Boy's favorite around here.
Yeah. Which I keep talking about the Necronomicon movie that I mistaken for the Evil Dead 2 movie that I wanted to watch again. And I rented Necronomicon Book of the Dead. And he wrote and directed that one. And I keep forgetting that.
Oh, so maybe he's your favorite director of all time.
Yeah, probably, actually.
Brian Yuzna. He did Skeleton Boy's favorite Society.
He did. Yes.
The Dentist, Beyond Reanimator. Bride of Reanimator.
All the classics.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 and 4.
Oh, so yeah, we watched one of them, right? One of them where it was like the toy maker one.
We saw two, I think, right? Or three.
That had to have been either
three. Yeah. And then, oh, he also wrote Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Wow. Yeah, that's why there's a lot of graphic body gore in those movies.
Because of Brad, you saw it. That makes sense. Yeah. I think that all checks out.
I don't know. Maybe we should just watch all of his movies.
I think we've seen most of all of the movies, to be honest.
No, so we did watch, it was Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 was the Toymaker
one. Oh, the Toymaker one.
Oh, it wasn't him, though. It was some other guy. But he did write it.
Yeah. I think I was reading off his credits for writing. Oh. So he didn't direct it. So Return of the Living Dead 3 for me was, I remember renting like something like I'm assuming Hollywood was closer than Blockbuster for me. So I go to Hollywood Videos, rented. I don't remember what movie it was, but I remember seeing, because I don't know if people remember this, but they used to have trailers before the movie, mm-hmm. coming attractions or coming soon. And they had a trailer for this movie. So I saw she's like the iconic Melinda Clark character with all her knives and her hands and shit was heavily in the trailer, and I remember seeing that thinking like, oh man, that looks badass, I want to watch that movie. So, but never did. I think I eventually did catch it up with it on cable. I think I've seen all these movies on cable, except for two. I think I saw the first one of this one, I've come to realize, on cable,
which I've seen all three. Yeah, I remember renting this one just because it was like, you know, boobs. But yeah. Even though it's hard to find things very sexy in this movie, since there's a lot of really weird gory effects.
Yeah.
You get like an ode to Evil Dead 2 when Henrietta gets her head chopped off and another one kind of grows out. There's something very similar to that.
Hmm.
Which the logistics of some of these zombies don't make any sense, but they're fun to look at.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. Since this is our Valentine's Day special, I wanted to pick it. And the theme this year is doomed romance. What did you think of the love story aspect of it?
Young love. Yeah, young love. I remember thinking like, oh, that's like really a beautiful like gothic romance. Until I watched it this run and I was like, oh, they've only known each other for like 5 months.
But you're saying that as, you know, 30 something, as opposed to a 15, 20 year old John.
That's true. 15, 20. Yeah. I mean, how old was it?
I don't know how old you were when you saw the movie, but
I don't think I was 15 in 93. Let's see, my younger brother was 3 years old, so he probably didn't watch this with me, I hope.
When did this movie come out? Like, it's in 96? Oh, 93.
Yeah, I was like 8.
You're 8?
I think.
Okay, you're 8 or something. But did you see it in 93?
I think so. I think it was like something my brother rented, and I would just like sneak and watch the movies. Ever since the Evil Dead 2 incident, I would do that just like to watch these movies.
Yeah,
I guess so.
I totally get what you're saying. She, like the love aspect of the whatever tragic love story in this. I think it's actually pretty good, pretty well done.
I think it's nice, it's cute, and I think it's also more of
problematic, but yeah. Yeah,
I think this kid is just trying to do the right thing. Also, well, no. I mean,
he just lost his mother.
Yeah.
Right? So he probably just moves around a lot. He meets Melinda Clark. So of course,
I only know. I think the only other movie I kind of remember from is Spawn.
Yeah, she's in Spawn.
She was what's his name's like number one. Like oh fuck, who's he has like throat. He had throat cancer. What's his name? He's married to Catherine Zeta-Jones, isn't he in Spawn? Was married to Catherine? No, wait, am I tripping here?
Catherine Zeta-Jones? Yeah,
I don't. No, it's Martin Sheen. Yeah, that's what I'm trying. Martin Sheen.
Oh, Martin Sheen. Yeah, Martin Sheen's yeah.
Like number one henchman.
Yes. Yeah. I know her from the OC. She plays one of the slutty mobs. So yeah. She's very good in it. Very good.
I know her from Gotham. No, I don't know. Oh, well, she was in Eli Stone, but I know I like that show. I just don't really remember it. Anyway, this isn't about Melinda Clark's filmography.
I thought for the most part they did a good job of explaining, like, I guess she was kind of wild, right? Kind of like,
I mean, it
intruded on his life, like got him so like wrapped up that he was like, oh, I love her. I'm going to do anything for her.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak us into this military research with poor security, which I like that they said that to establish that the security's poor there.
Yeah. Otherwise it doesn't make much sense because this kid, just because he's the colonel's son, gets to walk around any fucking place he wants. It doesn't.
So why did he need the badge? Yeah. If they just let him in, they just waved him on in.
Willy nilly walking around, and other scientists are just like looking at him, like, and walk away. There are all these like super dangerous zombie like things.
Top.
It's just some kid. It's fine.
It's the Bush era stuff right there. And then, you know, I was looking up the Lee, what is it, J. Trevor Edmund? Uh-huh. And I was like, I feel like I've seen him in like fucking 100 movies. Not, this is probably peak career right here.
I do remember him. He was in Pumpkinhead 2, right? I think.
Yeah. I would say this is his biggest movie.
Yeah.
From his filmography. Yeah, but I feel like I've seen him. Or maybe I've seen people that look just like him. He looks like a, I don't know, poor man's Joey Lawrence. Is that track?
Kinda, yeah. He was in Alienation, the TV show.
Yeah.
Which, you know, nobody fucking saw even the movie. But that came up because there's a poster of that somewhere and I can't talk about where. But everybody thought it was like a cleared fake movie. I'm like, no, it's a very real movie. You know,
take it down. You gotta, who owns this?
Yeah. It was like I forgot that it was Mandy Patinkin as the alien. So it's Mandy. Mandy Patinkin as the alien, and what's his name as the cop?
Mandy Patinkin's a chameleon. You can just put him anywhere. Just any ethnicity.
He'll do it.
He fits it. He could be Italian. He could be Jewish. He could be Middle Eastern, European, British, whatever accent he was doing in The Princess Bride.
Yeah, I was going to say whatever that is. So it was him and James Caan.
Caan.
R.I.P. James Caan.
Caan. But, I mean, I thought it was kind of, I guess it was kind of a serious movie.
Yeah, there's nothing too, I mean, you can find moments funny if you want. But it's kind of difficult, because it's like,
you give it,
so gross, kind of.
Yeah, I think you feel the small budget on this.
Oh, man, pretty hard, yeah. Even with I think at the opening credits and the end credits are a different aspect ratio.
Even I feel like even without knowing, I knew as a kid when I first saw this trailer off a videotape that they're just shooting this in a really stagey warehouse.
Yeah.
So like sure, I kind of like instinctively knew that it was not like Independence Day 4 or anything else that came out that was high budget.
And it's like clearly shot at like an airport hangar.
Mm.
Which I want to say, I think it was like probably the Santa Monica hangars. If they shot in LA, which I think they did, right? Maybe.
I could look that up. They shot this in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I thought so, because a lot of it looked like just old. Yeah. Just old.
Santa Clarita Studio, 7th Street Bridge. That all checks out. Yeah. So, yeah.
Release date, 1984.
Countries they sat on it for a year?
United States, Japan. Oh, probably. Well, I don't know if they sat on it for a year, but probably it took a year to make. You know, everything took forever to get released. No. Well, I guess it still takes like a year. I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
So across the board, some pretty poor acting.
I thought the dad was a little stiff.
Oh man, he was terrible, right?
He was a little stiff. Yeah,
there's supposed to be some
soap opera,
thoughtful, sad ending, and it's just him not even pretending to struggle to keep some gate open with like a fire extinguisher. It's just like sticking his hand out through the bars, not any sort of energy in his body. Just he might as well have been a mannequin yelling the lines.
Or even the gun, too, I thought was pretty ridiculous. Slow charging freeze gun or whatever the fuck it was. It's kind of dumb. But I think there's a little bit of charm to this. There's a charming nature to this movie.
Like there's
low budget.
Oh, I guess these are spoilers. I want to talk about like some of the zombies that are kind of funny because. Yeah, I'll wait. but yeah. It's the love story I kind of appreciate. I can't wait to get into how she becomes a zombie because it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean she does have that. I guess it's like iconic now, right? And
yeah,
I don't know if casual movie fans, but like punk rock, maybe. I don't know. Is this still relevant? Her look? I feel like
Cannibal Corpse, 6 feet under. No, just kidding. Cradle
Fell. Like, yeah, this was like a big final.
Michael Jackson's Bad.
Final look was eye catching. It was iconic. I thought growing up, I thought it was like everybody knew what this was.
I thought
for the
so.
Most part.
Yeah.
It's just this insane, crazy look, but. I don't know if people would know this, just like, unless you're like a movie fan, go out of your way to watch it.
It is
not
tough because I feel like these movies are really starting to age out of people knowing them. But I guess they've always been those types of movies. I would compare this to like Chud or movies like that, right? You know? So if you know them, then you're a big fan. But if you're just a casual movie goer, like, you're never going to discover this stuff.
Yeah,
it's not Taylor Swift's Icons Tour. I think that's what it was called, right? The one that she released in theaters.
Oh yeah. I don't know what it's called.
What's it called? I just know that they were selling Taylor Swift popcorn tin at AMC theaters, and in my head, I'm like, that's kind of a deal because it's super cheap. But you buy the tin and then you buy the popcorn separate. And I was like, nope, that's stupid.
Do you want to? Okay, you bought your $100 tin. Do you want to put popcorn in it? It's $15.
Well, the tin was only like, it was less than $5. And in my head, I was like, that's a deal if they put popcorn in it. And I was like, oh, they don't. Never mind.
You still got to buy it separately. So what does the tin look like? Do you just eat out of her head? Like you lift off, you screw off the top of her head and you eat out of her, top of her head?
Yeah, and unsurprisingly, it's empty, right? Because Taylor Swift's got nothing going on.
Oh, fuck. Nobody's going to listen to our show now. Nobody. Just talk shit about Tay-Tay Swift.
Yeah, we're going to get canceled.
Everybody knows I'm not a Swiftie now.
Fuck. Okay.
Well, I want to talk about zombies.
Okay, let's talk about zombies. Let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. So the first zombie is wearing a diaper? Or like a jock strap? And it always surprises me that for some reason zombies have like insane strength abilities, even though this guy's super scrawny. And just the most careless team of scientists and military people on Earth.
They didn't even have locks on the doors, John. Come on, how is he giving them?
They didn't have locks on the doors. They didn't have like one security guy in there with a gun. You know, like they're severely understaffed.
This is an indictment on the U.S. military. Brian Yuzan was making a movie about our poor military process.
Some pretty good commentary. And that's why I think Canned Heat did it better because, you know, the zombies weren't dumb. They just would come back and then turn into mush. The way she becomes a zombie, right? Because she gets all turned on by everything she saw, like the zombie being reanimated and how
turned
that...
Turned on?
Yeah, you remember they're having sex later and then she just can't stop thinking about like when the thing killed that other guy.
Oh yeah, she's a little bit sadistic, right? Yeah. She's a little off her rocker a little bit, you know, like likes violence and stuff like that.
Yeah, likes danger and whatnot, which is how she dies because she's trying to grab on her boyfriend's peen while he's riding a motorcycle.
All right, not a family show, are we?
No. Oh yeah,
explicit.
Hold on, let me use a different choice of words. His cock and balls, right? She's trying to rub up on those guys.
Eggplant emoji.
Yeah. His fruit basket down there.
Fruit basket.
And causes him to lose control. And she's like, are you losing control? And then he fucking ejects her off the motorcycle by accident into a tree. Very comically, too, because it's like the cut, too, is too slow from how fast she was flying off the motorcycle or whatever the dummy was.
Yeah.
And he panics and takes her back to the thing to... I don't know how he knew how to reanimate her. It wasn't like they were very specific about how that worked out to begin with.
Yeah, I guess he just puts the whatever fog or whatever toxin stuff on her and that reanimates her. And how then, he got that idea? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I think that's something that is kind of mentioned in the second one, but it's not like it's explained in this one.
He did it because he wanted her back alive.
Yeah.
So, and she pretty understandable, back, I guess.
And she's like, oh, that was amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, where am I? You don't remember what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's what? Just the whole rest of the movie is them just trying to find them. And then they run into Mike Moroff and his gang of
Mexican video game cholos.
Filipino cholos. So obviously they're going to be bad guys, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what Brian Yuzna, a Caucasian man, thinks of Mexican people.
Yeah.
And then
LA thing.
They're running away from them. She gets weird because she eats somebody at some point, right? Or she bites one of the cholos?
Yes. Because it turns.
And she's like, oh no, if I don't inflict pain on myself, then I get hungry, blah, blah, blah. So she jumps off a bridge. She jumps off like the 7th Street Bridge. I was like, I get it. No, I'm just kidding.
she falls, and then she just kind of either gets swept away with the current, which we all know LA does not have an actual river, so I think she ran away. And he's trying to stunt double guy, very coolly slides down this pipe that has no reason to be there. Like, it was clearly added. And that's when you get introduced to Riverman. It's like
the star of the movie.
Star, yeah. In my opinion, the star
40
of the
minutes
movie.
In, we only, get the real...
only person of color in the movie that is not a bad guy.
Well, I don't know. What was his intentions?
I don't know. All he did was help him.
That's true. He did. He was up for the assist. Didn't he say he saw this somewhere before, like a Louisiana or something?
Yeah, or he said he's seen several people get taken by the river.
That's right.
There's no way. It's the LA River. It's not a real river. He's helping them. And this guy, Basil Williams, is like just too good of an actor to be in this movie. Like, he really needed to like give it 50% less of what he was doing.
Because
he's the only guy making real choices, and it's like, oh, you're kind of too good. Like, I don't know how to explain it. The movie's supposed to be cheesy, and it's like, I don't know. Like, oh, well, what's your name? Like, you can call me, and he turns away, you can call me Riverman. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. Give me this guy's origin story now. Stat. That's what I want to see. I mean, he's even a good guy when he turns into a zombie and he becomes a super soldier.
Oh, yeah. He does become with the adamantium stuff.
The universal soldier serum.
Yeah.
This is what this movie is. It's the prequel to Universal Soldier with...
imagine that.
Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
He turns into... Then he officially turns into Riverman, which I was hoping... That's what I'm calling the super zombie, Riverman. I was hoping after he would help him that he would just, like, fly out of the thing. And Riverman
goes back to his
on,
river.
Yeah, to save other lost souls.
On the river of Los Angeles.
Yeah, he was the only guy that they didn't put a prosthetic. I mean, his body, sure, but they didn't make his head a prosthetic head. He would just do all the acting himself. It was really good. It was funny. Mike Moroff gets killed because he's going to go and rape the girlfriend, but she's already a zombie full of sharp things in her body, and he's screaming, and cut to she had predator style pulled his head and spine out of his body, but it was still connected to his body.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked.
And then
he
turned into a zombie, and he's just like his body's walking around and the spine is still like connected and not flopping at all. And his head is just like on a big pogo stick swivel thing.
Yeah.
And it's just Mike Moroff adding lines off screen. Like, what was it? Abre la puerta.
It's so funny. Hey, well, there you go. Return of the Living Dead series is the fun one. Remember that. They got there's the series Romero one. And then there's Return, which is like, the fun, low budget one. So
then you got Chud, cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers with Daniel Stern. What else happens? Well, I mean, they get caught, but mostly because the kid is like, "Yeah, you're right, Dad. My bad."
Let's go home.
But instead of going home, he's just like, you know what, I'm gonna hang out at the facility one more time and just kind of walk around, you know. Oh, I forgot that the way he sneaks the girlfriend's dead body back into the compound was really funny, because it just like plopped her head the opposite direction, but there's blood coming out of her mouth. And like, it's like, I'm not sure how he was able to hold her on his body if she's limp and not, you know, like. But yeah, he just shows up, and the security guards are like, "Oh yeah, hey, what's up? Go ahead,
Yeah. Two times in one night. All right. Cool. Go on through. Nothing weird about that.
Your kids go party now.
They were supposed to do a... It says nothing to do with the top secret experiment that we're practicing at 7 o'clock. But all right, go ahead.
But yeah, now he's just walking around the facility in front of all these specimens, is what they're called. Because that's how science works. They label everything specimen 8.
Yeah.
You see Mike Moroff's head.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things. He's just like, ugh.
So, yeah, I guess they tried to turn them into super soldiers, right? I guess.
Yes. Like,
and the unkillable first, army.
The first controllable they had killable was army. Riverman was their first success.
Yeah, this was the female colonel. She wanted to make. She wanted to do like adamantium something to soldiers. So, this is like. I'll play on both their ideas, so they get the dead guy plus anime soldiers, so they're controllable. So,
oh, I forgot, Riverman is like helping them, and right before, like, basically Mike Moroff and Co. had all turned into zombies, or the living dead, I mean, that have returned, and he is like, tell me, is she dead? He's like, yeah, she's dead. Alright, I'm still gonna help you. So he carries her body, and she is tied up and gagged, right? And then cut to like the boyfriend runs to the back and sees that she's eating him. So the Riverman is dead, and he like bonks her in the head with something. Oh yeah, that part I thought was funny too. They have sledgehammers for I don't know what reason. There's sledgehammers in the sewer. There's just like two for whatever reason. And a bunch of plyboard also for whatever reason inside the sewer, and they're trying to board it up. Which, you know, you can't run nails into concrete or steel very easily, but they're doing it. And they're also holding the sledgehammers by, like, the neck where it connects to the actual sledge part. Because I'm guessing they were actual sledgehammers. So they wouldn't be able to smack it or use the handle properly without breaking whatever, you know, construction made for the thing. So I thought that was funny that they're doing a poor job of using the sledgehammers because they're grabbing it by the neck and just kind of tapping it against the wall. But one of those he uses to bonk his girlfriend and she comes back too, and then that's when the dad shows up randomly and shoots her in the head because he gets out of the way,
freeze guns her in the head.
Yeah, and it takes her a really long time to get frozen. Like, there's this dramatic acting of like her reaching out to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he has a change of heart again, saves her life, or pulls her out of that thing.
Right? Yeah, because he didn't want her to
become a super soldier.
To come, like, yeah, I guess because all the characters that changed, they had captured and were going to fit them for whatever kind of military project or whatever. So.
And they almost decided
to. Yeah.
They almost didn't make it out because they accidentally released all the zombies, and you know who saves them? That's right, the Riverman. Riverman saves their lives. He's a super soldier zombie, but he remembers because of the Mardi Gras token. It's like, okay.
That's right. He becomes aware.
And
so
he becomes the Riverman, yeah.
Just, you love this Riverman. Yeah, I thought we'd be talking about Melinda Clark's look the entire episode.
No, that's like teenage John's, you know, fantasy. Now I'm like, I want to be Riverman. I want to know that guy's story. Riverman, he's seen some shit, and then he became the shit. He became the super soldier. Yeah. But it's a bummer that Riverman's body gets blown to smithereens by the female scientist, who then immediately gets eaten by something that pops out of a canister.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And then a really corny, they're running through the hallways and the kid, what's his name? Simon? Is that right? Am I making that up?
Curtis. Is the main character?
Kurt, yeah. Okay, Kurt.
Kurt.
So Kurt is like, they're hiding and there's like one zombie that casually walks past them, and then for some reason they both look the wrong direction. And the zombie, super sneaky ninja zombie, pops out and bites Kurt in the arm. And then poorly acted character actor Kent McCord plays a dad going, Kurt, come on, son. You don't belong here. Leave her. You don't belong in there with them. You belong out here with us. He's like, it's too late for me, Dad. And then he's like, oh, well, okay. That's what it felt like.
I've been bit, Dad.
And then
it's
they
been bit.
Their love goes up in flames after that.
They end up in the incinerator and they burn to death.
That is the abrupt ending.
They choose to burn to death. And it truly becomes a doomed romance.
Yep. I do like that last couple of lines, which I thought were like, yeah, come on, guys. At this point, you know what's going on. She's like, what are you doing, Kurt? We need to get out of here. And he's like, we are. And then he turns up the flames. I'm like, okay. We are, Julie. We are. And she's like, basically understood. And they go up in flames.
I had tears in my eyes, John. I don't know if you did.
But no, I
did.
I think I would have, but they burnt away from all the fire. All the fire that was clearly surrounding them. That's Return of the Living Dead 3.
Induced. Yeah.
Doomed romance. That's it. It's a season of doomed romance.
Yeah. It's February. Alrighty.
You want to hear a bit of trivia real quick?
Sure.
An entire day of footage, according to actor J. Trevor Edmund, was lost because camera assistants never checked the gate.
There you go.
There you go. Return of Living Dead 3.
It does look like it was shot on film. That must have been so annoying. Yep. He didn't fucking do his job. But yeah. Classic camera screw up.
Yeah, there you go. Some cameras king. And they fucked up.
Cameras king. Yeah. Alrighty. You ready to rate this?
Yes.
Alright. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Return of the Living Dead 3, Valentine's Edition, 8.5 sexy spooky bones. Sexy,
nice.
Sexy, sexy, Julie, sexy bones.
Julie. I'm going to probably buy you that poster of Julie.
So, hell yeah.
Or River Matt. Whatever.
I'll take either or, honestly.
Alrighty. I'm gonna give it 7. I think it's a movie that I think is better than had any right to be. Movie, it's pretty good. It's pretty good movie considering the limitations of it. I think that's Brian Yuzan's talent there. Yeah. Taking things that look terrible on paper, but make it something at least interesting, entertaining, at the very least. Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.
Thanks, Mike Moroff.